Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 318, the first five stanzas. The glorious gates of righteousness throw open unto me, and I will enter them with praise, O Lord my God, to thee, and I will enter them with praise, O Lord my God, to thee. The first five stanzas of Psalter 318.
Thank you. Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this morning, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to Luke and of chapter 24. Luke 24, but first we will read the Holy Law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 24, the first 12 verses. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found a stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, who has shown thy power so very long ago already, even over death and hell and the grave, thy power over sin and all its consequences. We gather together in this morning of thy day, in commemoration in a special way of that power. Thou who art the resurrection and the life. And then it was also prophesied of thee, and he shall live. And to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made continually for him. And daily shall he be praised. And so we may commemorate it in this day, and that thou hast raised him from the dead, that thou hast thyself come forth from the grave. Lord, that is the basis of the life of thy church, even from the beginning unto the end of the world. And therefore we beseech thee in a special way, in this thy holy day, that thou may look upon us and upon our children. Oh, that we also may look up unto thee, and that we also may come with expectation in this morning hour, with a cry to thee, the mighty and the eternal God. And that thou wouldst raise us also from that spiritual sleep, from that death that we have brought ourselves into in our deep fall, that thou wouldst speak the word only, and that we and our children also may come forth from the dead. For hast thou not said that there shall be an handful of corn on the top of the mountains, and the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon. Lord, then from the beginning unto the end of the world, and from the furthest corners of the world, And then they shall be brought forth from the dead. And then they shall come, and they shall worship thee. O Lord, we beseech thee that we and our children also may be among them. And when in this morning we may have this blessed commemoration, that there may be also a desire in the hearts of many in our midst, and that there may be a knowledge of our own death, that we are conceived and born in sin, that we are dead in sins and in trespasses, and that it may be a burden to our heart, that we may receive a cry from Thee for deliverance, Lord, that is only to be worked by Thee, because Thou art the Alpha and Thou art the Omega. Thou art the beginning and Thou art the ending in the life of Thy church. O Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou may come from Thy side in this morning hour. Thou who livest and Thou who reignest upon the right hand of power. O that Thou would send forth Thy Spirit in this morning hour unto us and unto our dear children. O, dost Thou not have that authority to send forth Thy Spirit from Thy high and Thy holy place, that Thou wouldst come and go from pew to pew and from heart to heart, and that Thou wouldst give life unto our souls, that we may begin to live and to breathe, and that we may begin to hunger and to thirst, and that we may begin to desire and to long, even to pant as the hart panteth after the water brooks, and that our soul may so thirst for Thee. Lord, Thou knowest how dead that we are. A form of religion, which is a good form, but we are so steeped in our death in the midst of this world. Our hearts and all our flesh, all our desires, all our affections, they are craving all the vanity of this world. Then we are not able to deliver ourselves therefrom. Then our faces, they are bowed down unto the earth. And we are so of this earth earthy, so dead in sins and in trespasses, so there is none that are able to lift up themselves. Lord, we beseech Thee in the midst of our wretchedness and our misery. And we beseech Thee in the midst of all our guilt and all our sin. And we beseech Thee in the midst of all our pollution and all the corruption that lives within. And that Thou may Thyself arise also in this morning hour. That it might also be known and experienced by many in our midst, and that Thou art not dead, but that Thou livest, and that Thou workest still in our days amongst us and amongst our children. May it be given to be seen in the midst of our families, fathers, mothers, children, grandfathers, grandmothers. Lord, Thou knowest everything that is happening here below. Could it please Thee to gladden us so by Thy deeds, as Thou didst Thy disciples in that day so long ago, and that our hearts that may be bowed down even in this morning hour under the burden of wretchedness, of guilt, and of sin, that those such hearts may be given still to rejoice in Thee in this day. That Thou wouldst come over for Thy children, that Thou may open their eyes for Thee, that faith may be given a little strength in its exercise, that they may be given to see something of that blessed object who is to receive all the honor and all the glory, that those who are bowed down under the burden of sin, that they may hear Thy voice, say, why art Thou bowed down, O my soul? O Lord, give them that hope that is cast upon Thee alone. Wilt Thou look upon each and every one of Thy children? Bring them back again.
And when that way that has may be becomes so impossible, as it was in the life of thy disciples, then it is so necessary in our life, and that everything is being so cut off from our side. But we do not want to go through that death. Oh, then we are holding, we are hanging on to our life. But thou dost say that whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And he who will lose his life, he shall keep it unto life eternal. Lord, then it is so necessary, because we will not give up our life, that is against everything that is living within us, then it is so necessary to receive something of that stripping work of thy Holy Spirit, or that we may come into death, and with everything as a ground and as a foundation for our soul, and that we may be given that life, all that is from above and that burns after thee. Lord, look then upon us in this day. Oh, make us glad with all thy deeds, for thou art a surprising God unto thy church. And may it be experienced even in this morning hour. Remember all those that are not able to gather with us. Thou knowest the afflicted and the sick. Wilt thou grant health, grant strength once again, supply for all those that are afflicted. And thou hast given some also serious diseases. O Lord, thou knowest also where they are, the treatments that are received. Oh, that thou may remember them in these ways and give a cry to thee in all the need. Oh, that thou thyself may deliver, and that thou may instruct also in these ways in our life, and that everything here below may be known in its reality, and that we may see the truth of the passing of everything that is vanity, that our life that is but a shadow, and that it is but in hand breadth. And then we shall soon die and stand before thy judgment seat. Lord, supply thou for all those who are sick. Remember also our brother elder. Thou hast brought him safely back again unto us in this morning hour. Thou hast given him a little strength again. Oh, we may acknowledge thee therefore. Wilt thou strengthen him further, that he may go in and out among us continually and do the labors of his hands? Wilt thou remember all those that are afflicted and needy in the midst of this world, in the mind, in the body? Remember all thy servants. Lord, they go forth also in the midst of thy church. They go forth also on thy Sabbath day. Thou knowest that there can be discouragement. Oh, thou knowest that the way can be so very heavy. And thou art able in one moment to make it so light. Oh, thou art able by thy Spirit to feed thy servants. And thou art able to give them light from heaven. Oh, then that work, and then it becomes such a joy. Oh, that thou may remember all thy truly sent servants in the midst of this world. Increase their number. May it be amongst us and amongst Jew and Gentile alike, that thou may look upon us in this day. Remember us as we are gathered together. Lord, then we have nothing from our own side. But oh, we beseech thee for thy Spirit, and we beseech thee for the power thereof to be experienced among us in the preaching and in the hearing. Oh, do it, Lord. It is so undeserved from our side, but we look up unto thee. With thee is the power to raise the dead. Oh, we beseech thee then, in this morning hour, that we may know it, and that we may experience it in that power. O young and old alike, we ask it of Thee, and for the sake and in the name of Thine only begotten Son, in whom Thou art so well pleased, and what Thou didst show also upon that Easter day, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
430, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah, praise ye God. In His temple shout His laud. Praise Him in the wide extent of His spacious firmament. Sing Jehovah's praise uprightly. Praise Him for the plenitude of His boundless magnitude. Praise Him for His deeds so mighty. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, and we announce once again that the following persons have been examined by the consistory and wish to make public confession of faith: Joshua Busicum, Megan Busicum, Rosaline Janssen, Cornell Oscom, Pamela Van Driesten, Celia Vandenberg, and Shane Vandenberg. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by Tuesday, April the 7th. The Lord willing, confession of faith will take place on the morning service of Sunday, April the 12th. 430, all stanzas. Beloved congregation, the day of Easter, that is a day of great rejoicing. The day of Easter, that is a day for a great celebration. That is the feast day for that true Church of God. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is very clearly that day that David has spoken of long ago when he said that that stone that the builders had refused is become the headstone of the corner. This, he said, is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. That is a day that has been sanctified by the Lord Himself. David, he says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that is. It was the resurrection day. It was that first day of the week. And therefore, the Church of God, they have met together on that first day of the week, on the resurrection day of Christ, ever since that day of Easter. That means that every Sabbath day is actually a commemoration of the resurrection of the Lord. There was a great rejoicing in that day over all the enemies of Christ and His people. And that is not only over the enemy of that day, but it is over every enemy indeed of God's true church. We have spoken of them lately. What are those enemies, boys and girls? Well, we have heard that Satan is an enemy. We heard that the world is an enemy. And we heard that sin within the heart of God's own children, that is also an enemy of that church. And now it is on that day of Easter, in the resurrection of Christ, and that we may behold something of that victory of Christ over every one of His enemies. And when on the battlefield, that victorious side is returning to their homeland, and they are coming with rejoicing, then they are bringing with them all the spoils over their enemies. And so we can see that also with Christ. When He has risen from the dead, and then it can be seen that He has spoiled all His enemies, so that it may now be said, not only over sin itself, but also over all the consequences of sin, and that He and in Him has His church has received all the victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death, that is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. A day of rejoicing. How is the people of the Lord? May you also rejoice. Say, it is one thing to speak about that rejoicing. It is another thing to experience something of that rejoicing in our heart. And that is what is so necessary for us to know for ourselves. Does it not need to be applied to us? Does it not need to be revealed to our soul? But what a great difference it was for those disciples and those women. In the beginning of this day and in the end of this day, what a difference when they have arisen in the morning of that day and when they have gone that day to bed in the evening. Because in the morning there was sorrow, but in the evening there was gladness. Or in the morning there was mourning, in the evening then they were singing. And so it remains. Or when something, the smallest part of what may be all in this day, may be experienced in our heart. Oh, then in the morning we are sorrowing, but in the evening we go to bed and then we are singing. May the Lord give it to us. Also in this day, we wish with the help of the Lord to consider something of this out of the words of our text. Luke 24, the last part of the fifth verse. Luke 24, the last part of the fifth verse. Why seek ye the living among the dead? So far, and the words of our text. The church admonished for seeking the living among the dead. First, the church of Christ's day, and second, the church of our day. The church admonished for seeking the living among the dead. First, the church of Christ's day, and second, the church of our day. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Who were they? They were, we read, two men in shining garments. Who are they? They are angels. They are angels that are from heaven. We read of angels in certain times in the life of the Lord Jesus, that is, certain points in the redemption of that true church of God. Children, you will know when the Lord Jesus was born. Then we can read in the Bible that there were angels. There were also angels when the Lord Jesus suffered. We can read that those angels, they have strengthened the Lord Jesus in that garden that was promised help from above. For Christ, when he has promised to go forward with his work, thus, in his birth, in his incarnation, but also in his suffering. And we see also angels here in his resurrection. When the Lord will spare us, and then we hope in the future to consider again the ascension of the Lord Jesus, and there we will see angels once again. And then it is promised that there will be an host of angels that will be coming with him in that great day when he is coming upon the clouds of heaven. That is to do that great work of separating the sheep from the goats. Angels. Paul calls them ministering spirits, sent forth to minister unto them who shall be the heirs of salvation. And here, to do what? That is to give a very glad tiding unto those who are the heirs of salvation, that is, unto these women. What do they say? They say, why seek ye the living among the dead? Who are they? To whom this is spoken? That is the women. We read Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Where are they? They are at the grave of Christ. 3 days ago, then we have seen them there also. There they were sitting over against the sepulchre. There they were mourning. There they were watching when the Lord Jesus, whom they loved so dearly, was laid in that grave. And then what do we read? They followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And now, they are back again. Sometimes then we go too, do we not? We will go to the graveyard, and there we will see once again that place where our loved ones, they have been laid in the earth. Was that the purpose of these women? Oh, we read that they have another purpose. Because we read now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared. Spices, we heard of them on Friday when we heard about the burial of the Lord Jesus, boys and girls, spices. And then it was Nicodemus who has brought spices also, a very great and 100-pound weight. And then he has brought many spices, that is to embalm the body of the Lord Jesus. And now those women, oh, they are bringing more spices. And why? Well, they have seen that Joseph and Nicodemus, they had to be in such a hurry. And they thought, well, then they will try to do this in a way that is a little more proper. They will try to do this in a way that is a little bit more complete. Their hearts, they are burning with love. Oh, how they would have prevented it, everything from happening. But they could not prevent it, not with all the love of their hearts. It has all taken place, and now it is over. And now they are going to do for him one more thing that they are able to do, and then they will not be able to do anything for him anymore. Their hearts, they are so filled with sorrow that they even do not realize everything that they are doing because they have left their home. But it is not even until they are on their way that they are thinking to themselves that there is a great stone. Who shall roll us away the stone that is before that sepulchre? Oh, did that ever take place in your life? That there is so much love, that there is so much desire, that there is so much thought of the Lord, of his kingdom, and that treasure that is so much in the heavens that you didn't even realize what you were doing here upon the earth. That you have done all your labor, maybe just in such a mechanical way, and you have come home and one says, did you do this or did you do that? They say, I do not even know. Or who will take care of you in that time? When your heart, young people, when your heart is so bound up with the Lord, that you are not even able to concentrate on what you have to do in this world, who do you think will take care of you then? No one? Oh, listen to what happened to these women. What do we read? We read, they found that the stone was rolled away from the sepulchre. They did not have to remove it. They didn't even have to think of it. Maybe if they thought it was there, they had never left their home. But the Lord, he has hidden it from them. But those women, they come near, and suddenly Mary Magdalene, she sees it, and she turns around, and she runs back. She goes back to Peter, she goes back to John, and she says, they have taken the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where that they have laid him. And so we know the history. They also, They also have left and they have gone together unto that grave. But in the meantime, these women, they have gone further and they have come to that grave. And what do we read? That they entered in and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. What went through the minds of those women? Well, we can read what went through their minds because we read that they were much perplexed thereabout. I think we can understand that. They were much perplexed thereabout. They have seen the Lord Jesus when he was buried. They have watched Joseph. They have watched Nicodemus. They have seen that stone that was rolled by that sepulcher. And now they come and that stone is away and a body that is gone. Then we understand what is going through their minds, that they say, how is all this? What has now taken place? But it is not only in their mind that there is perplexity. No, there is more perplexity. Is your perplexity all in your mind? Or is there also perplexity in your heart? Because with these women, then it was not all in their mind, but there was also a perplexity that was in their heart. Because I think when we went to the scribes, and we went to the Pharisees, and we went to Caiaphas, and we went to Pilate, and we went to Herod, all of them, they are also perplexed. They also do not know in their mind what has taken place, but they do not have any perplexity in their heart. Or that is therefore so different than with these women. Do you know who was not sent to them? You do not read that the Lord that an angel went unto Pilate, that an angel went to Caiaphas or to the Sanhedrin, no. But how different it is with these women. Because the Lord, he is not so very far away from that people who are perplexed in their heart. They do not realize how close that he is. But God says in his word that before they call, that he will answer. And so we see it here. That even before that those women call, that the Lord, he has already stationed for them these angels that are within the grave of Christ. Those angels, for what? They are for the instruction and for the comfort of those women. That is to lead those women into his truth. To instruct them in that truth and to take away the perplexity, not only the perplexity in their mind, but to take away the perplexity that is living within their heart. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, why were they so afraid? Well, you say, they were angels. They were angels from heaven. They were angels that were there in their shining garments. And they were angels that were so full of majesty. Is majesty fearful? Or is majesty beautiful? You say, would that not be a beautiful, would that not be a wonderful thing if we may see an angel from heaven? Oh, majesty. Majesty indeed is beautiful. But congregation, majesty is fearful when justice is against us. Where did that begin? That began in paradise. That began with sin, the first sin, so that that majesty of that angel, when it was placed in that garden that has become to our first parents such a fearful thing. How many times do you not read in God's word that when an angel has appeared, that men, they were so afraid. So it is also with these women. They are so afraid. What did they not understand? Did they need to be afraid? Say they did not need to be afraid. And why did they not need to be afraid? Well, you say those angels, they were not there against them. No, it was just the opposite. Those angels, they are there for those women. Those angels, they have come there as the friends of those women. Those angels, they have come on the side of those women. Those angels, they have come for their help. They have come for their instruction. Those angels, that majesty that is there for their benefit. Is that not a great difference? Or when majesty is on our side, when majesty is there to comfort us, when majesty is there to provide for us, when majesty is there to protect us, when majesty is there to give us hope, to give us courage instead of fear. What a great difference. Why seek ye the living among the dead? That is the admonishment of those angels. That was not a hostile admonishment. No, but that was a friendly admonishment. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. What did they say? They said, oh, women, you should know better. You should know better than to seek him here. Has he not spoken to you of all this beforehand? Then he has spoken to you not only of his death, but he has also spoken to you about his resurrection. Oh, yes. He had to go unto the grave. But why is it that you think that that grave was always going to keep him? Why is it that you think that that grave would keep its power over him? David, he says, Lord, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Did you ever ask that? Lord, remember that word that thou hast spoken in my soul. Did you ever remind the Lord of what he said? But how often does the Lord not have to remind his own children about what he has spoken? Remember how he spake unto you. And when he reminded them, then what? Then we read, they remembered his words. They remembered his words. And now how sweet those words became, that they may now remember. The word about what? The word about his resurrection. Oh, how sweet what an instruction they now receive out of those words. Was that not so before? When he spake those words? And when he said that the Son of Man shall be crucified? And that he shall die? And the third day he shall rise again? Was it not sweet to them in that time? It was not. You read that they did not understand it. And there was no place in their heart to receive it yet. Yet. And why not? Because it still had to go through the way of death. And this they could not receive. They could not receive. And thus there was before no place in their hearts to receive that promise of the resurrection of the dead, because it was not yet Good Friday. But now it is so different. Oh, when those sorrows of death are compassing them round, and when the Lord is bringing back again His own word, oh, there is place now. Oh, young people, we hope you listen carefully. There is place now. Do you hear it? Do you understand it? There must become place in the heart of a person to receive the word of God. And when there is no place for it, then it has no comfort. It has no profit in their heart. In that moment, it doesn't mean that there will not be profit later, but there is not profit in that moment. But when the Lord is now making that place, and when the Lord is now bringing His church into those circumstances and bringing that word within their hearts, oh, how open that everything is going in one moment for that people. What a rejoicing is in that one moment. How? By the word of God. From the mouth of His servants. In the heart, oh, absorbed in that heart, like a sponge that is ready to receive that water, so that there is a glory, a rejoicing in that moment in the heart of those women. And they remembered His words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all things unto the 11 and to the rest. They told it to the church. They told it to the church of that time. But they also told it to the church of this time, because therefore the Lord, He has recorded it for us and for our children. But first we sing 241. 1, 2, and 3. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 241. why seek ye the living among the dead? Death. What is death? That is wages. Payment. That is the wages of sin. Death. Those wages are demand. Because when we earn something, then is demanded wages. They are a demand of the law. They're a demand of justice. They're a demand of that law upon everyone who is guilty. But is death only demand of the law? Or is there another side to the law? Does the law not demand anything else? That law that demands death upon guilt. But it also demands two other things. That is, when there is no guilt, it demands life. And when a person has paid his sentence, it demands that he is released. So it is not only that the law does not have anything against them, but it is that the law that is actually demanding it, that is justice demanding it, that is now the other side. Justice demanding life. For the innocent. Justice demanding the release from the prison of everyone who has fully satisfied his punishment. The demands of the law. What a great difference to have the law against us, or to actually have the law and justice standing on our side. That the law and the justice, that would be a very powerful ally. That it would be a powerful protector. Oh, how grateful are the innocent for the law. How grateful are the innocent for true justice. And what blessed views that they have of that justice. And what a confidence is inspired within the heart of the innocent concerning that justice. That is, congregation, the great difference between Good Friday and Easter. Because on Good Friday, justice that was set against Christ. For the sake of that sin that Isaiah had prophesied already of years before, that would be laid upon him, justice set against him. And on Easter, it is exactly the opposite. It is exactly turned around. That justice, as much as it demanded his death 3 days ago. Justice is demanding his life on Easter morning. Why? First, because as that thief had testified, this man has done nothing amiss. Justice demanded his life. In the second place, because everything that was to be borne in the punishment of his church was now so completely satisfied. And therefore justice and the law of God was demanding on Easter morning the life, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Good Friday, that has to do with the dead. Easter, that has to do with the living. Good Friday, that has to do with justice that is set against that church of God. Easter, that has to do with justice and the law standing on the side of the church of God. When Christ, he must be released from that prison. And now for that church to seek that living among the dead, that is for that church to act as if justice is still against them, when in fact it is now just the other way around, that the law and that justice is now standing on their side. Why seek ye the living among the dead? With that church, with those women, the church, there is a church who does not realize that law and that justice that is actually standing on their side. Why? Because it needs to be revealed to them, just like those women. But there is in the heart of the people no place for it. Just like those women, there is no place for it in the heart of the people before when? There is no place for it until after Good Friday. There is no place for it in their heart until after the Lord has cut everything off as a foundation in the life of that people. Congregation, what does that mean to us? What are the fruits of the resurrection of Christ? Do you know what the first fruit is? The first fruit that is regeneration. Our fathers, they call it a resurrection from the dead, a making alive, which God works in us without our aid. Every Lord's Day, we come to that house of the Lord. That is in commemoration, every Sabbath day again, in commemoration of the resurrection of Christ. Question: How do we come here? How do we come here? When we come, children, boys and girls, when we come to the house of God on the Sabbath day, did you bend your knees? I know your Father, He prays. But did you bend your knees? How do we come up, young people, to the house of the Lord? Do we come up with earnestness and in expectation, looking for the resurrection from the dead, on the commemoration of the resurrection of Christ every Sabbath day again? Because our regeneration, that is a fruit of the resurrection of Christ. Therefore, we are meeting on the first day of the week. The Father, He has given to the Son, in His resurrection, the receipt for the payment. You have that also, boys and girls. When you go to the store and you pay something, you get a receipt. What is that receipt? That is the proof that you have paid for it. When the Lord Jesus was risen from the dead by His Father, that was the receipt that the Father has given for Christ's payment. That the Father has testified when He raised Him from the dead, that payment that was so completely paid. What does that mean? That means that there is nothing that is standing in the way anymore of life. Nothing. Nothing standing in the way of life for Christ. There is nothing standing in the way of life for His church. Spiritual life. Life by regeneration. Oh, that gives us reason to have a great hope. That gives us reason to have a great expectation. That gives us reason to storm that throne of grace. That gives us reason to go on our knees and to beseech the Lord based on His own resurrection from the dead, that He would be but the first fruits, but that there will be a multitude that no man can number that will follow Him out of that grave. Oh, how? How do we read the Word of God? How do we come up Sabbath after Sabbath? Is that in despair? Or is there a longing hope, a longing expectation, a beseeching of the Lord, looking unto His power and looking unto that receipt that the Father has given unto the Son, and pleading with the Lord, and not letting the Lord go, except He bless me, except He bless my children? What did the Lord Jesus say to Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Why then seek ye the living among the dead? Or how often do God's children not seek that living among the dead? Just as if the law, just as if justice has never been satisfied. Just as if it is still against them. Oh, love that draws you, and you feel your death, or you feel that death. Why? Because of that life. That is the only way. That is that mystery. But then what do? You seek life in a way that can only end in death. That is a broken covenant. You pine away under your sin. You feel the death. You feel the curse. You fear the death. And you try to pay the price. And you say, Lord, I have not yet done it, but just a little more patience with me, and then I will pay you everything. And I will make everything right, what I am doing now and what I have done in the past. But what do you reject? What did Christ say on Good Friday? It is finished. The payment. It is finished. And what did the Father say on Easter morning? He said also, it is finished. And therefore, Paul, he says, it is by grace you are saved. It is of faith. He says, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. Why then do you seek the living among the dead? For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Be careful. Be careful. Why? Because we read in God's word that Israel, they attained not to righteousness. Why not? Because they sought it not by faith. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. Oh, thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. He says, I will lay thy stones with fair colors. I will lay thy foundations with sapphires. Do you not believe that Christ, that he is risen from the dead? Oh, do you not believe that he is therefore acquitted, and that that church is only acquitted in him? Oh, you love him, but do not then seek him as if he were dead, and do not then seek him as if justice was not already satisfied for the ungodly. Those women, what did they want to do? They did not look any more for anything from Christ. They sought him as one that was dead. He can give me nothing. But they would do what they could for Christ. And now those angels, they say, women, it is just the other way around. You seek him among the dead, but he is risen. And therefore, now that people who have to experience in their life that they are not able to do anything anymore for Him. That everything from their side that is so completely short, and that it becomes so therefore impossible, it is now just to that people that He says, "Why are you so fearful, all ye of little faith?" Let them that love Him, let them live out of Him. Let them live out of Him, and let them seek no more the living among the dead. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we need so to be instructed by Thee. It needs to become from our side so impossible. Everything stripped away, and then Thou risest from the dead within the hearts of Thy children. Lord, then their eyes they go open, then Thou receivest the glory. Then they are so set at ease. Oh, then there is nothing for them anymore but to magnify and to glorify Thy name. Oh, Lord, open the freedom to Thy people. Open the liberty that there is in Thy only begotten Son. Everything finished from the first unto the last. Wilt Thou give it in Thy mercy? Give jealous hearts of that blessed and beautiful portion. Oh, we cannot receive it in this world. Give young and old together to desire it, to earnestly seek after it. For it is to be received still today by us and by our children. For Thou art not dead, but Thou livest. Show it unto us. Bring us safely to our places with desire and Thy help also again in this afternoon hour. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 431, 1, 2, 4, and 6. Unto God our King, joy and strength of Israel, lofty anthems sing, glorious are His ways. To His name give praise with the harp and timbrel. 1, 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 431.
Throughout all the
blessings flow. Praise Him, O creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.